show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I've got a sign and a golden voice. Where can I stand and get a job?
Over there, in the media corner.
Cleveland Cavaliers, here I come.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for January 19, 2011. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thanks for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Well, I think I'm okay.
Have you been holding up a sign out on the street side saying, I have a gift of podcasting?
I have the gift of golden podcasting.
Isn't it amazing how quickly Ted, what's his name, Ted Williams?
Yeah, hey, went up and down.
Oh, he didn't go down. I think the news is just paying a little too much close attention to him.
Well, I think he's having a couple of bumps in the road, but you know, the poor guy, he got all this attention, and there wasn't anybody to help guide him because he's, you know, which way to go. So right. there were some bumps in the road.
They do have one lady who's offering to be his financial advisor who's saying, you know, don't subscribe to everything that someone says, hey, you ought to invest this money and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
She just said, save.
Well, for me, I want to feel really good about this story, how it turned out. So I hope it doesn't take a wrong turn.
Right.
I'll manage his money. Wink, wink, nod, nod.
Local news aside, recent news aside, we've got coming up in this episode the biggest CES flops of all time. You'll be surprised to find out what kids were wearing in the school in the early 1900s. And Miss Zork, we've got a modern and discreet way to play it.
There's nothing like an apple. But do you really appreciate everything that is an apple? Sure, there's the attractive outer skin, but then you get to the meat of your apple. Right down to the very core. There's a lot in there. Discover all the goodness your sweet apple can provide you, along with the occasional rotten spots, worms, and bugs. With the Typical Mac User podcast and website, go to typicalmacuser.com. Go on, take a bite. It's quite tasty.
This is Douglas C. Welch of Career Opportunities, the High-Tech Career Handbook, and you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
All right, welcome back. Hey, two friends in tech, how was that? Typical Mac user and friends and Career Opportunities.
What?
Two friends in tech.
Two friends, yeah.
Two friends. Two friends in one. All right, shout out to the chat room. As you can tell from my voice and probably Craig's, we're feeling a little bit congested. It's been a wonderful time. So, looking at the chat room, we have a live chat room that goes on every Sunday night when we record this at 9:30 Eastern time. We'd love to see you there. Live chat room, live webcam. So if you want to see a really red nose or two, join us there. We have Congestion Craig, Sniffles Tomasi, that would be us. AD Sneezing Up a Storm, Ben Vaughn, Claudio M, Captain Rootbeer, Deb Drop, and Cough One. Love that. How come he always gets the creative names?
Well, he's good at that.
Gru, Jerry Cough Girl, Sniffle Sided, Tim Flem, and ZML 2008.
I think he's just stuck in there.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. Again, if you want to be around, just come to the website, truckchat.com/technorama on Sunday night. We'll see you there. Turning to the birthday calendar, since we had technical difficulties last week, we'll give shout out to the 14th was Glenn Tolar's birthday. Also happened to be my brother's 50th birthday.
Wow.
And I'll take him out to lunch later. Now, we do have something planned, but it has to keep getting pushed around because of customer commitments. Silly customers.
Yeah, you got to have your priorities. Customers
hey,
come
can
first.
I take you out to lunch? Oh, wait. No, a customer just booked something. Hey, let's move it to Tuesday. No, a customer moved it.
At least I thought about you.
Right. How about I send you a McDonald's gift certificate in the email?
Get yourself a Happy Meal and throw in an apple pie.
On Monday the 17th was Fuffy Frog, a.k.a. Christina from Canada. Happy birthday to her. Coming up, we have on the 21st, Michael Rabelais, Stingray 42 is easier to say. That's his chat room handle name. TAW012294.
Related to THX1138.
Or TD0013. Was born on the 22nd. Happy birthday. Kathy Luke in Illinois has a birthday on the 23rd. And, oh, wait, what's this? Last one on the list? It's Craig Stepp on the 25th.
Yeah. Well, see, I'll be 42, so I'm waiting for all the answers to life, the universe, and everything.
I was already there a few years ago. It doesn't happen.
Oh, thanks.
The answer is...
Spoiler alert.
My knees are hurting. My back is hurting. The kids get up too early. They get old. They grow old too quickly. That's the answer.
Is the music too loud?
In my head?
Yeah. If the music's too loud, then you're too old.
Okay. Yep. And if they can figure out the electronic things faster than you, you're done. I've reached that point. If you want to get on the birthday calendar and lament like the rest of us, just go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. We'd love to give you a shout out when your time comes. Wow, that sounds like they're about to die.
Yeah. Speaking of birthdays.
When your time comes.
Yeah.
If it is your birthday and we didn't get you on the calendar this go around, happy birthday to you anyway. We'd love to give you a shout out next year. On this day in history for January 19, 2011, it was on this date in 1840 that Captain Charles Wilkes circumnavigates Antarctica, claiming what became known as Wilkes Land for the United States.
On January 19, 1883, the first electric lighting system employing overhead wires, built by Thomas Edison, begins service in Roselle, New Jersey.
That same date in 1915, Georges Claude patents the neon discharge tube for use in advertising, and the red light district is never the same.
Or Vegas. Howard Hughes sets a new air record by flying from Los Angeles to California to New York City in 7 hours, 28 minutes, 25 seconds on this date in 1937.
It was 58 years ago today that 68% of the television sets in the United States were tuned into I Love Lucy to watch Lucy give birth to little Ricky.
Also on this date in 1978, the last Volkswagen Beetle made in Germany leaves VW's plant in Edmond. Beetle production of Latin America would continue until 2003.
The Apple Lisa, the first commercial personal computer from Apple Inc. to have a graphical user interface and a computer mouse, is announced today in 1983.
Sweet. And just 5 years ago, New Horizons probe is launched by NASA on the first mission to Pluto.
And don't forget, Tuesday, January 25th is Macintosh Computer Day.
Yay!
Happy birthday goes out on this date to Scottish inventor James Watt, born today in 1736.
And English inventor Sir Henry Bessemer, born today in 1813.
Jacobus Kepteyn, the Dutch astronomer, I hope I said that right, was born today in 1851.
And finally, the lady who does the voice of Leela on Futurama, Katie Sagal, is 57 today.
Hey, Leela, how'd you like to blow out my birthday candle?
Get my fuzzy slippers. I feel pretty.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for January 19th, 2011.
Good news, everyone!
First up in the news stories, we got some interesting stuff this week.
Yeah, we sure do.
Let's see, where's my first one? Still images, thank you. There's one. It's Antarctica. The Russians to be the first to explore Antarctica, Lake Vostok. That's great, because it sounds like he's got a Russian name already. Shouldn't somebody have already explored that?
I was going to say, I thought that pretty much every place has been explored, but I
know not the lake. Not the lake.
The lake? Is it under the water?
Yes, this is from Io, not
under the
oxygen-rich lake, unreachable for the past 14 million years and buried beneath a thick sheet of ice, is about to be penetrated by a drill.
Hey, women, and here we are, humans, ready to just stick our head in and explore it.
That's right. We're going to contaminate it.
Yeah. Somebody's going to open. Well, look at...
It's possible that special life forms have adapted to live in this extreme environment, and scientists hope to learn more once they can analyze water samples. No, sorry, it's not on Europa. It's Antarctica. But the environment of Lake Vostok, which Russian scientists are about to drill open, is very similar to the Jovian moon and to Enceladus, a frozen satellite of Saturn. Astrobiologists are among those eager to uncover Lake Vostok's Miocene era secrets. I mean, it's really freaking old.
Yeah. Wow.
So this will prove, you know, as a nice proving ground for what they're looking for on some of those other moons.
You know what's interesting is about Earth, of course, is we have places all over that are just like so-and-so body of space and this planet and this planet,
right.
You know.
Right.
There's like, oh, this is just like the ice on, you know, whatever moon of Saturn. Oh, this is just like the surface of Venus is just as hot. You know, it's amazing how many different elements of all the other planets
we are. You know, way back when there was probably life on Earth. So there's life in Lake Vostok, that doesn't necessarily mean there's going to be life on Enceladus.
Sure. No, I know. I'm just saying it's amazing how we have a little bit of elements of all the different planets here.
Yeah, and in Wisconsin, it's felt a whole lot like Pluto lately.
Just a little bit more snowy, right?
And Atlanta feels like Venus in July.
Yeah.
All right, CES was a week or two ago, and there were all kinds of new, cool, you know, 3G, 4G, and LTE, and
3D, and
yeah, flat screen that. But along the years, there have been things that just haven't worked out, and what would it be... If what would Technorama be if we didn't poke a stick once in a while?
Hey, CS was successful. Let's poke a stick in its eye.
If we didn't light the flaming bag of poo that is the CES flops, right?
Yes, right. Well,
looking at first some of these, one, I got to bring up some of these other still.
Go ahead.
We have, where is it? The Laserdisc is a.
You know, I don't think that was so unsuccessful, because I did know a lot of people that had them for a little while, but
not a lot of people had them. Come on, it's not like people are rushing out and getting flat screens today.
No, but I think it faded quick, but you know, it was able to bring about like Dragon's Lair and stuff. So
think of a DVD that's about 14 inches across. All right, that's what a laser
like a record.
It was big.
It was. I'm not saying that it was without its faults, but. You know, it brought, like I said, Dragon's Lair, some of those games, and I know a lot of people. I remember seeing them in stores, all the discs. So.
Another one was the Compact Disc Interactive, CDI.
Oh.
Remember CDI? No?
I remember reading about it, but I never saw it.
Developed by Philips, offered a primitive interactive multimedia experience with numerous uses such as audio CDs, video gaming, and karaoke. There's a reason to go out and get it.
That's right.
We also have
the Sony Mini Disc.
Yeah, I know a few people who had those, and they were like staunch loyalists.
Well, I always thought the media was going to be its downfall, because you had to buy the special Sony media just like you do with the Sony memory sticks and like that.
Once again, Sony inventing their own path. Didn't quite catch it this time.
You'd think Sony and Microsoft were in bed with each other.
They got Blu-ray.
Yeah, well,
if at first
we'll
you don't
that.
Succeed, try again.
That's right. Even Tim Elliott in the chat room, he's like, I love the mini disc. He's even shouting it with all caps.
Who's doing that one? Tim Elliott, okay.
Yeah, Tim Elliott.
In 1995, they brought us the Virtual Boy.
Flop.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. The Virtual Boy was supposed to be an industry game changer, ushering in a new era of 3D virtual reality gaming. The brainchild of Gunpei Yokoi, who was credited with the original Game Boy, Game Boy handheld and Metroid franchise. The technology's failure meant he eventually was driven out of Nintendo. Story of too much hype and poor execution, Time would name the device one of the worst inventions of all time.
Now you realize they're about 16 years ahead of their time. Everything's coming out in 3D now.
And headgear. Next up,
As a matter of fact, they're about to come out with a new 3D, the DS, the 3DS, the handheld video game.
Yep.
So, they were ahead of their time.
We also have in 1996, we won't go through all of these. There's some great ones. The Apple Pippin.
I had no idea that Apple was involved with that.
Me neither. With all of Apple's recent home runs, it's sometimes easy to forget the company isn't infallible. Everyone has their fair share of embarrassing flops, after all, and Pippin was one of Apple's. For some reason, Apple looked to enter the video game market in 1996, launching a collaboration with toy maker Bandai that could play games and was also an inexpensive network computer. It was a device stuck in two minds, and as such, did nothing particularly well.
With either one.
It was no surprise when consumers ignored Apple's device for Nintendo 64 and Sony PlayStation. You know, the game controller looks a whole lot like, a modern game controller. You know, kind of that boomerang style thing.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah. I mean, it looks like looks kind of interesting. I'll say that, if I was back in time. So,
all right, one more before we get out of here. This is one of my favorites. Networked refrigerators, interconnected refrigerators. The partnership between Cisco and Whirlpool led to the announcement of an entire line of internet connected home appliances at 2000 CES. Remember that?
Yes, I do. And I kept thinking, as internet connected as I am, and I'm standing in front of the fridge, I'm looking to stuff something in my face, not get online.
Now, I will say this wasn't too far off. Maybe another one that's a little ahead of its time. I have been giving some thought to sticking my iPad on the refrigerator.
I did see somebody that did that.
I mean, there's the family calendar. There's the email. I mean, you're heading out. Why not? It's a screen.
That's an expensive message board there, Chuck.
Well, it's no worse than the clutter that's all magneted to our refrigerator right now. It's basically a vertical filing cabinet.
Well, you put it on there, and then you'll end up with crap all around it. That's what'll happen.
Well, you can run pictures on it. Look, we got pictures on our refrigerator now. Might as well consolidate those into the iPad.
Yeah, well, I do want to add one other thing. I always thought this was kind of a neat idea, and I was surprised it didn't take off more than it ever, I guess, even if it did, was the Microsoft Spot Watch. Because they were broadcasting, their plan was to broadcast information over FM signals.
Okay.
Where, and then the watch would pick up the current weather and all that kind of stuff, any news. And, it was a neat idea, but I just don't think it was executed properly.
Next story up in the news, third and final one, I think, right? One, two, three. Scientists may have discovered a new state of matter.
Wait, is the new state don't care?
New state is intoxication.
Don't care why you're intoxicated.
It's like rainbow jello to me. After 7 years of hard work, scientists have created an equilibrium gel. Soon it could be everything from nanotech to medical drugs. It doesn't matter if we're born into high society or into humble circumstances. It doesn't matter if we're good or evil. It doesn't matter what we do or where we go. At some point in our lives, we will be unfortunate enough to eat some jello. Yes, it's always bad. Yes, it's even if it's lime. I may be one of those few people who likes lime jello. Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, especially if there are marshmallows suspended in it. What kind of sicko are you? The point is, many of us will have taken part in making jello we eat, and so seen jello making in its current imperfect state. The powder is dissolved in very hot water, then poured into a mold while it's still in liquid form. As the liquid cools, the gel solidifies. This is phase separation, and it is what happens when most gels are made. They start off as a liquid, and then tiny network of particles form as the liquid cools. The network renders the liquid solid, often with parts that won't solidify, sloughing off. Phase separation continues to happen in gels after cooling. Even the best of them eventually turns into glop. The new equilibrium gel is different. It's formed when a material found in many household products, a synthetic clay called laponite. That's not the same thing as lycopene, is it? Which turns you into a wolf.
Yeah.
Scientists suspended laponite in water and using x-rays studied how it formed a gel. At concentrations of less than 1%, the laponite mixture broke down after 3 years. That's some sturdy jello pudding.
Wow.
At concentrations above 1%, the gel formed a stable structure. The structure didn't separate into sections that had an overconcentration of liquids and a stolid section with no give. It stayed at the same consistency all throughout its structure. Wow. I'm sure Jell-O brand will be wanting to get some of this.
Well, I think the equilibrium gel has actually been predated. This article has not mentioned that they were used in making Weebles.
Weebles. Remember Weebles?
Yeah. See, equilibrium gel, you can knock them over and they just kind of keep their balance.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. Thanks, man. That was a blast from the past, too.
I got more.
You should check out what I uploaded to Facebook this weekend in my photo section. Here, let me hold that up to the camera. You like this?
What is it?
I found this on my workbench. It's an official membership card for the Marquette Senior High School Computer Club, 1982-1983. Look closely. Who's the president? That'd be me.
Oh, great. That's funny.
Those were, now if you, the fonts look horrible because they weren't,
it's like a it looks like you chose about, there's like four fonts on
five.
You know
fonts.
Why
you know why? It's because those were press was, type letters
were,
it wasn't
those were
laser
the five
printer.
Fonts that were included on the computer.
No, it wasn't even done by computer, it was done by hand. I had those press type letters, and what I did is I had to find a font that had enough letters. You know, there weren't enough C's to spell computer club in this certain font, so I picked something else.
That's funny because look, as you got like Times Roman, Times Roman's in bold. I don't forget what that one is, and then you got 3D. The cartoon. That's funny.
That's the only one that had any numbers left.
Yeah,
yeah, it was good stuff. Hey, that press type letters, it's enough to drive you insane. It's slow, but dang, it looked good for pre-laser days.
That's right. Had your own business cards for the computer club. That's amazing in itself.
Hey, and I hand printed them or copied them and cut them and laminated them. That's how it still exists after almost 30 years.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Hacks and strange stories. We have two here. One from Michelle, who sends us a wonderful tattoo crossing Hello Kitty with Spock. This is prime Dragon Con material right here. I could see somebody walking around with a Hello Kitty Spock. Kitty's got the pointed ears, the Starfleet uniform, and of course doing the...
Throwing up the Vulcan high five.
That's right. Although I don't think Hello Kitty actually has, you know, phalanges, so I'm not sure how that would work.
I don't know either. That's, yeah.
Thank you, Michelle Country Science, for sending us that one. We also have nerd merit badges.
Yeah, I ran across these. They're not entirely new, but you can go and get some. There's one for solving problems by standing there nodding. There's
That's
another
how I
one
do
for.
It.
Here's one for you, Chuck. The zero inbox.
Yeah, that's then the first one I'm going to get. There's Ben Boinged, yeah. Which means you had a project mentioned on the Boing Boing.
That's right. And, you know, we do know somebody that has had their blog mentioned on Boing Boing.
These are little you know, circular embroidery stitched things.
Yeah. But here you go. Check this out. This is the one that actually caught my attention. It was the Lose It or Lose It Flawless Victory. This badge cannot be purchased, only earned. In addition to making badges, both Randy and whatever the other guy's name is, and our programmers relevant to this badge, we are both chubby programmers. We've tried a bunch of times to lose weight, but things always fizzled out in a couple of weeks. So we came up with a program that worked for us. Take a long-term goal, break it down into one-week increments, and actually put money against it to reach your goal. We call it lose it or lose it. And you can too. So what you do is you put money up for this, and then you get your money back and the badge when you when you meet your goals. How about that?
Interesting.
Yeah. So go there, check it out. It's like it's the one with the face with a guy sweating.
Nice.
How appropriate. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Oh, by the way, the person I was trying to mention that that we know that's been mentioned on Boing Boing was Mr. Thomas Command Line.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
From the Command Line.
Matter of fact, he posted the other day, he's like, oh, I just figured out why my blog's slow.
Command Line Podcast, we mentioned him. At commandline.net.
Yeah. And I like the full stack web developer. It's some pancakes.
Pancakes. So have a look. Cool. We'll have a link in the show notes.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
What we don't remember is what kids were wearing in the early 1900s to school, but someone found a picture here, and it ain't pretty. I'm not sure what's going on here. We found this on Gizmodo a while back. It says, this is an awesome picture taken of the early 1900s in America. All the boys wearing foil for some reason. Was foil
the teacher was paranoid.
Was it to protect themselves from an alien invasion? Did it represent the future? There's so many questions, and yet, sadly, there are no answers. It's a group of about 15 students standing on the front steps of a stone building, and we have no idea why they're wearing foil. Maybe it was...
I think the picture was taken in Roswell, New Mexico. It kind of foretold the future.
Maybe they were all trying out for the part of the Tin Man.
Yeah. They're the Tin Man's children.
This is just begging to be captioned, isn't it?
Yeah. That is funny. Uh-oh. And then, you know what? Poor guys, they don't even look none too happy about it either.
We also found something that was very fun from days gone by. An ad to find out what it takes to win a full-size Gemini spacecraft.
Sweet! How do I join?
This is a completely ridiculous 1960s sweepstakes. Says, no put on, this is for real. The wildest way-out prize ever awarded in a contest. A 19-foot prototype of the famed NASA spacecraft. Your Gemini capsule is just like the original. There's a detachable hatch, equipment section, and retro fire package. Ooh, light that baby up in the garage. Actually, from the ground up. No, accurate from the ground up. When you win the Gemini, you'll be at the airport when it arrives in a Flying Guppy Aerospace Lines plane. Your name and picture will be in the newspapers and magazines all over the country. How will it feel to present your spacecraft to your city for a park or museum? Oh, you're not allowed to keep it. You have to donate it. Is that what they're suggesting?
Oh.
Famous. No. That's how. There's more. As the grand prize winner, you'll receive a professional Vox Serenader guitar, plus every Revel model kit. Sounds great. Do you remember building Revel model kits?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, some of the stuff we bought for the Pinewood Derby.
Yeah, you know,
to build our car.
What were the other ones? Revel. There's Revel, or is it Revel? And start with an M. What was the name? The other major maker of like plastic model cars and stuff.
I don't remember.
Drawing a mental blank. Dang, damn it.
Anyway, hey, I love the bottom of that ad right there. There's all these kits laying on the floor, and the kid's on a stool playing his guitar.
Pick up your toys, Tommy.
And practice your guitar. That's funny.
And total 630 prizes, 29
hey, look,
prizes, 630 prizes.
The Gemini from Revel contest was won by a 13-year-old boy in Portland, Oregon, and it now sits in the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry.
No wonder. Happened to his guitar.
He probably started a band, got strung out on drugs, and was in rehab for most of his life.
What did he do to win? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Maybe we should contact him and get him on the show.
If he's still alive. This was back in the 60s, dude.
Well, I'm from the tail end of the 60s, and I'm still alive.
Yeah. Okay. He was 13 years old in when? 1960. Let's do the math. So 50, 60, it'd be 63.
He That's better still be alive.
All right.
Unless he, did start a band. Unless he really did start a band and got strung out on drugs, huh? No.
Ravel led him down the life, down a dirty path.
Yeah, he had a great week, and then he started a band after he, you know, they delivered it to the museum, and, you know, it all went downhill after that.
Started a band called Gemini.
Yeah.
Also, in the completely ridiculous section is an article from... what is it?
A comic book.
ConalRad.blogspot.com. Looks like a comic book, but it's a propaganda thing to, you know.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. From the 40s and 50s, you know, to scare you off of communism. They got lots
America
of,
under communism.
Is this tomorrow? And then they've got these, you know, kind of mock pages in comic book form. It wasn't long after the end of the Second World War that communist forces in America seized their chance. The story is sad, the end tragic, but this is the way it began.
Hey, a little bit farther down, I love this one guy. There's a cutout of, you know, America. And he's got his fingers out with the strings. He's pulling. It says,
yep.
We've been training writers and editors for years to follow the party line. We will be ready to take complete control of the radio and public industry once we get it in. Funny thing is, that's the way it is today. No. But, you know, it's just kind of funny.
Even in the grade schools, the teacher is pointing her finger at the student. Remember, you are supposed to obey the state, not your parents.
Yeah, wow. Wow. It's harsh, man.
And then the chalkboard in the background, it's got in cursive. The state is supreme.
Wow. This one guy says, I defy anyone to prove that there is such thing as a God. It's a teacher, man. Wow.
All right. We mentioned on the voicemail show that Craig found this wonderful clip about these French students. Oh. These kids were handed some technology that some of us older folk will clearly recognize, like an 8-track player. Or a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk, even though the caption said 8-inch floppy disk. I'm like, that wasn't no 8-inch floppy disk.
And a Game Boy, like the original Game Boy.
Yeah, and they couldn't figure that out. And a game cartridge for like an Atari 2600, and they're trying to put the two things together.
Yeah, they must go together.
And they say, what is this? And they thought the 8-track player, because it was one of those kind with the plunger top, you know, they look like a dynamite detonator.
Yeah.
I thought it was a bomb. and then the one kid, they handed him the Fisher Price turntable with a 45 record on it.
Yeah.
And they can't figure quite how to put the needle on the record, and then they get the needle on the record. And then this one boy, he's like, he accidentally rubs it, and he's like, oh, and he discovers scratching. Yeah. It turns into a DJ in like 5 seconds.
I was going to say, funny, that's how it really evolved.
That's right.
Oh, look at that sound.
A 5-year-old with his Fisher Price.
Yeah, this is classic, though, because, you know, a lot of these things, you know, I don't see 5 1/4 floppies anymore, but I still kind of take it for granted that they existed or exist. And this kid's like, wow, and flipping it, you know, making it be floppy, you know. One of them thought
you haven't seen any in a while? How about on the webcam? There's a handful for you within arm's reach.
Well, I don't expect anything less from you.
Thanks.
But
as he turns around and grabs a 300-baud acoustic couple modem.
Yeah, that one kid thought the 3.5-inch floppy was a cassette.
Or a camera.
A camera. I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say. Camera.
Is it trying to take classic. A picture with the shutter?
Yeah. I'd love to see some more of those.
Oh, I'd love to hand some of that stuff. Because I remember my nephew about, let's see, he's 18 now. 10 years ago or so, mm-hmm. He saw a 45 and didn't know what it was. He said, Dad, do you have any more of those big black CDs? I think anything round is a CD.
I know Harrison knows about records and stuff like that, but I don't know about about 45s.
You should do a similar video with him, although you might have an unfair advantage of retro stuff.
Yeah, well, I try to keep him in the know, you know, whenever I see stuff, we'll talk about it, but I don't know, I might try that. See if it's not funny, I'll just delete it.
Yeah, we've had recent discussions about Julie. She didn't know about a lot of this. What's a modem, Dad?
She said that, really?
Yeah, I had to explain to her what modems were for.
It's this cable modem under my...
Well, she didn't know it used a phone line. I mean, today's modems are just little USB things you plug in and you got Verizon on it.
Yep. Oh, you know, I would love to inflict the pain of dial-up on some people. Oh,
wow.
Boy, today I'm like, y'all have it too easy.
Is the Inquisition coming back?
Yeah.
The electronic Inquisition.
Oh, that's good. I like that. No, but yeah, it's... because I think everybody should appreciate how slow dial-up is, because you know nowadays it's like, oh, my internet's slow, and it's like, well, you're pulling up a page about as fast as you were with a 56k modem.
We'll have to change our Remember When segment to call it the Electronic Inquisition.
Uh-oh, changes are afoot.
Yeah. Quick break and we'll be right back with the Media Corner.
Listen to Radio Yesterday, the greatest collection of old-time radio in podcast form. Horror, comedy, mystery, science fiction, Radio Yesterday has it all. Join your host, Chuck Tomasi, to discover new shows or rediscover lost favorites. Use the latest RSS technology and never miss a single episode. Don't delay, hurry to chuckchat.com and pick up your copy of Radio Yesterday.
Oh, my God. They grow out of those pods.
This is Summer Brooks from the Dragon Page, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama. Can you figure out who's the one and who's the zero?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the Media Corner.
Go. All right. Well, you know, in first up in the Media Corner is we talked about this a long time ago, was this video that was on floating around the net about Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Where the guy was trying to set up a concept for as a pitch for a movie. Well, it actually got pretty far in the process where Warner Brothers was considering it for a movie, but they declined. However, instead of just declining altogether, they gave the guy the keys to the Warner Brothers lot, and it's going to produce a 10-part webisode series. So we'll be able to watch this online. You know,
cool.
And it's where it's that real gritty looking Mortal Kombat that it's not as campy as the video game, but at the same time has a lot of elements, you know, like the Scorpion has the scale type skin and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's really cool. So if you haven't seen the video, I suggest you go see it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing this come up.
Also in the remember when I'm a little behind. Also in the
Media Corner,
we have a rare deleted scene from episode 5 of Star Wars with Han and Leia, where they're in the Cloud City and they're trying to figure out if, you know, she says she doesn't trust Lando. The person who authored this article says that they really wish they would have left it in because it helps fortify the romantic relationship, whatever, that's building between Han and Leia. But I don't know. I thought the dialogue was a bit stilted. Gee, Lucas, stilted dialogue? What's new?
Well, I agree with you because I was thinking part of me's like, yeah, it would have been cool to see, but at the same time, I don't think it fit. He's like, Han's like, come sit down. I want to talk to you. Right. I'm like, what?
I hope Luke made it to the rest of the fleet. Oh, I'm sure he made it. Yeah.
What was that? The first line Han comes in and says, wow, you look nice. Maybe you should wear girls' clothes more often. Yeah. I'm like, what has she been wearing? A white gown? You know.
Well, she was wearing a white gown in the first movie, but you know, in 5 she was wearing
that jumpsuit thing. Yeah. Yeah, well, okay. I'll give you that, but still it's like, come on, those lines, I don't think they fit at all.
No, they could afford to go.
They cool to see.
Now, a few extra deleted scenes of, you know, Jabba slave girl thing.
Yeah. Now let's talk about Leia.
Let's get to the director's cut.
Yeah, that's right. So, but yeah, it's kind of funny to watch.
All right.
Even though it's short.
I got to bring this next one up on the still images. Zaha Doom sends us an email with a way to explain raid technology.
Yeah, this is great. This is
with water coolers. Okay, so one water bottle on top of the cooler is a standalone. One water bottle next to the water cooler and on top is a hot swap, right? So if the one on the top goes empty, you got a hot swap nearby. Having two water coolers with a water bottle on each is a cluster. That didn't sound quite right, did it?
Well, it usually turns into a cluster.
And then there are various other ones that say raid 1, raid 0, raid 0 plus 1, raid 5, and the bottles are like stacked and tacked onto each other in various configurations. I love it.
Yeah, that is pretty fun.
Very creative. Hey, do you miss Zork?
All the time.
Yeah. Do you wish you could play it in the office discreetly?
All the time.
Well, now you can. Makezine has come out with a LiveScribe. You remember the programmable pen?
Yes, those are very cool.
Java code into it. And yet you can write on paper, so you can play tic-tac-toe, and it will say, put an X in the upper right, put an X in the middle, you know, something like that. Well, this guy spent an afternoon and put all of Zork in there. So the little display on the pen itself says, you know, you are standing outside a tavern, and you write on the paper, go in tavern. And then you go into the tavern. It's like, wow, that is so cool. So you can be sitting there in a meeting, people think you're taking notes, but, you know, you're playing an adventure. What could be better?
I know. Well, you know, these LiveScribe pens, these are the same ones I'm thinking of. But
yeah,
it's the same ones where the newer version is made for applications. So you can install apps on here to do this. And this is what this is. But yeah, I mean, it was awesome. And, you know, it'd be cool to look back and see what did I just do? Or look back to two spots and say, oh, I opened the door.
He did say there's a little bit of a bug. So the first command you type in is like, you know, open letter. And it comes back with the entire copyright message and the same thing twice. Like, well, okay. So there's a bug somewhere. It's got like an initialization problem.
Still cool, though. I always thought these pens were neat. Have you ever seen them in action? I guess
I have not seen one in the wild. I'd love to see one. I don't know how much they cost. Otherwise, I'd probably get one.
Probably, I think they cost around $150 or something like that.
I was going to say, anything south of about $50 or $60, I'd get one in a heartbeat.
Well, you know, what's really neat now is, you know, before you had to buy their notebooks.
Yep.
But you can actually print, if you got a laser printer, you can print out your own paper and it'll work.
Oh, okay.
So you're not stuck buying their stuff.
Sure, that makes sense.
However, they said that they were making an effort to make their notebooks, reasonably priced. So,
okay.
But yeah, it's pretty neat. There's some apps you can buy. There's other apps you can just install, and they do different things. Like, you know, you've seen the piano, right? The guy draws a piano and starts ding, 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 ding.
Yeah,
you can do that with this. You can record a meeting. So you just hit the record button at the bottom of the paper. And it records the audio, and it knows, like, when I start saying, and this project, you know, is headed by Chuck, and you start writing notes about it, it knows when you play back the audio to show those handwritten notes in real time with your audio.
Cool.
So, yeah, it is pretty cool. They have live scribe casts, I think they call them, so that you can publish them on their website, and anybody can view them.
Can you tweet with them?
Probably. I bet you could. The guy did a... What was that? He wrote a letter or a symbol, and then he was in a mode to do something. So I bet you could do like tweet. Well, they're not wireless.
Yeah, I was going to say you need some sort of connectivity on that thing.
Yeah, I think Bluetooth was coming or something. Anyway, right. I thought they were cool. I saw a video with Robert Scoble was talking to the guy, and you know, it was really cool to see what all you could do with it.
Finally, in our geek library, and the last article we've got is a collection of 55 geeky line jokes. One line.
Oh, we
jokes.
Should have kept those, Chuck.
This sounds like a collection of everything that's been floating around in the internet for the last 20 years. Because they've got things that we've cited. There are 10 types of people in the world, those who understand binary and those who don't.
Yeah.
We've got things about browsing. The truth is out there. Anyone got the URL? We got C:/DOS, C:/DOS.
My cup holder, you know, keeps whatever, you know, they're talking about the CD-ROM.
If at first you don't succeed, call it version 1.0.
Yeah.
And on and on and on and on. Tons, 50 of them. One line jokes for the geeks.
Black holes are where God divided by zero.
Yeah. It's a good way to do it. It's a good way to explain divide by zero.
Enter any 11-digit prime number to continue.
Speaking of which...
Wait a minute, one more. My attitude isn't bad. It's in beta.
Did you take the Drop Quest 2011?
What's that?
It's kind of like an online adventure game for Dropbox, and the more you proceed through their 29 or 30 steps, the more storage they give you.
What? Yeah. No, I missed that. Yeah. Is it still going on?
Go to Dropbox. See if you can find Drop Quest 2011. And if not, I will send you a URL. Mark Shepard shared it with me.
I missed that.
Yeah, kind of cool. Of course, there's already sites full of answers on them, so you don't have to open up step four and go, what are they talking about? Because they are very, very obscure references. Like, unscramble all these names, take the first letter, and you get the name of their CEO. Put the name of the CEO in here and go to the next step. That brings up a colored box. What do you do with that? Well, if you take the color of the box and you use the hex color code BAFF1E, type that into the box, you go on to the next step. And it goes, great, here, have another 75 meg.
Wow, I totally missed that. Wow.
Yeah, kind of cool. I would have thought you already had that one. So maybe we'll put a link on
it. You know, there's been a couple of things that went right by me was the, just because of the holidays, I guess, I wasn't paying attention. But, you know, Google started to sign up for their pilot program for the Chrome OS laptops.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like a few weeks into it, I'm like, I started seeing somebody, oh, I got my laptop. Oh, Scott Reynolds. I was like, what?
And I started looking.
And went, holy crap. How did I miss that? So, yeah, I was really disappointed in myself for missing that kind of stuff.
Ah.
So,
like, you don't need another thing cluttering up your timesheet right now.
No, I don't. But I'm just saying. Usually I'm on top of this kind of crap.
Yeah, because obviously he's looking at a different news feed than we are.
Yeah, apparently.
All right, that takes us to the end of the show. We appreciate your support and listening time and all that good stuff.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes?
Scott Reynolds is on his own feed, if you know what I mean.
Scott has his own feed. He's like an Uber feed. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. Call listener line 206-222-CHAT. I'm sure that doesn't spell Cylon something or other. But it's still fun to say. 206-222-2428. You can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. Visit the website, chuckchat.com, for all the other contact information. Just click on Technorama and contact us, and you'll find us there. We want to thank the following people for their donating their time and talent to keeping Technorama alive. Mad Marv, he's gracious and donates a lot of time to keeping the blog alive. If you're not subscribed to the RSS feed or visiting the website on a regular basis, shame on you. You should be. It's a whole lot of fun. Ustream, who keeps our live streams going on Sunday night. If you happen to be around Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern time, we'd love to see you there. Join us in the chat room. Whole bunch of great people. We've got some new faces, and we'd love to see you there, too. Our chat room is provided by the great people over at thinstack.net. Special thanks to Gru and the crew for all of their help keeping that up and running. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com, also affiliated with all the great podcasts over at farpointmedia.com. Check them out. You're sure to find something over there that you'll enjoy. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
Oh, yeah. 101. What? Wait a minute. 101.
Technorama is in no way responsible for the recent deaths of thousands of blackbirds, fish, colobus, monkeys, nematodes, or lower intestinal bacteria.